With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, we are doing a few updates here with our alumni who we love dearly, and we hope all of you guys are staying healthy, safe, and staying at home during this quarantine, and hope you enjoy listening to a few of our previous guests telling you what's been going on in their life since they did their interview. Here are some updates for the quarantine versions of And the Writer Is. All right. We are back with Allie Tamposi. She's back. Hi.
What's up?
We were just talking about, where the music industry is and how everything's affected by, you know, this break. And the short of it that's kind of interesting is that we really won't know because songwriters get paid so late. So we'll really get a good idea probably in, 4 to 5 quarters, because you get paid for this quarter basically next year, certainly internationally and whatnot. But, you know, anything that would have come in from live performance royalties, things like that, that's going to alter. But most of the restaurants and whatnot had to do their deals with ASCAP and BMI before any of this happened. So we just don't really know is the answer, but we will know after everyone else is feeling it. I mean, it's different, obviously, if you're a touring artist and all that stuff, but for a songwriter,
down. We do know that.
Streaming
is the volume is down for sure. The amount of people streaming, and
it's
that is
starting to bounce back a little bit, which is nice. Like,
yeah, I mean, we are losing like the restaurants and pretty much anywhere that streams music outside of people's homes right now. So I wonder, you know, and people aren't, you know, driving and so yeah, we'll see. I mean, definitely there's, you know, you can really sense like the music industry is sort of, you know, we're forming together, and artists are still super active on, you know, like Dua Lipa, just like right at the start of this thing, put out a record that I wrote called Break My Heart, and we were all, you know, everyone involved, Andrew and the Monsters, and we're all like, oh, we're gonna be like the experiment. We've like been, you know, waiting for this song to come out for so long, and she just, you know, I mean, she's just she's probably like, you know, one of the best at promoting her music, her team and everyone. They're really, really active in that. So, you know, they found a way to adapt, and the song's doing really well. So that's, so that was awesome. But that's
encouraging for sure.
Yeah.
Good example of the people who know how to take advantage of what's happening.
Yeah.
Listen to music in this?
I found myself in the beginning, listening, just going on like just finding artists that I wouldn't typically listen to. And I went down the rabbit hole for a good few days. And yeah, like I found, you know, artists that I used to be friends with, this guy, Jonathan Rice. He's just such an exceptional lyricist, and it's almost like folk music. He's actually from LA. And I was just, yeah. So it kind of felt like, you know, when I'm going on like these sort of musical quests, it feels, you know, what I'm tapping into, you know, I feel like I'm really on a mission for lyrical content that just like, you know, brain shatters me, that just like speaks, you know, just really, like just literature, you know, in a song. And I, you know, because I feel like I want to tap into that space, and I feel super inspired when I read lyrics that just like, you know, really describe like the, you know, the most subtle interactions between, you know, within a relationship or whatever. And they just are able to like articulate the, you know, the deeper meaning behind like a simple, you know, behind like body language or something, or the way like an interaction, they're just able to tap into like the psyche and also do it in so few words. And that's kind of, you know, I really want to evolve lyrically. And I think in order to do that, you know, there's only so many experiences that I can draw from. Sorry to jump around so much, but like, there's only so many experiences I can draw from. And, you know, there's only, you know, so I've really taken this time to read, you know.
Reading books, or you read lyrics as you listen to music, or both?
I do read lyrics as I listen to music, but reading books, like some of the great Russian literature, the Brothers Karamazov, I'm getting into that. And I find, you know, just, I don't know, the storytelling element of songwriting is just, it's what keeps me coming back to it. And
well, that's one of the things, is it feels like in pop music, a lot of people write, you know, it's the verse is, you know, the story is really about the moment, the actual length of the story is really condensed. When they're writing songs, you know, maybe it's not like a book where they do some exposition and a who, what, when, and where, why thing. It's sort of, she walks in the room, that's the exposition, you know, and then it's, we meet each other. The chorus is like, this is how I feel about that. And the next chorus verse is like, we're still here. The next one is like, you know, this, I'm still feeling the same way. And then the song's done. But right. The idea of these, you know, reading Dostoevsky and whatever, and trying to tell a story from, you know, beginning, middle, and end, that feels like something you get in a lot of folk music. You get, you know, that is the Tom Waits and the Bob Dylans, and they tell stories, the country music. Why is it in pop music that people don't tell stories? And can you of all people, can you bring this back to us, please?
I'm trying. I don't know if I'm intellectual enough to go there yet, but I'm working on it. I think, you know, so much of pop music is the sonic, is the melody, is the flow, is, you know, and I, especially, you know, with the sort of merge of urban pop music together, it's just, you know, finding different, like, I think there's so much more emphasis on the cadences and the feel of the song. And, you know, maybe that has a lot to do with the production as well. It doesn't really open, you know, you can't really tell like this. You have to match the tone of the song. So I find like, yeah, if, you know, you don't want to, you kind of have to go with whatever feels natural to whatever's happening in the room. To, you know, you have to also cater to the artist, and it just, it really does depend on the song, because I, you know, and you have to be also quick about it. So if you, you know, are able to throw out these, you know, big lyrical ideas that fit, you know, in so few words into this that doesn't, which doesn't like, you know, take you out of the song, but just like brings you into a story. If you're able to be quick about it and like, I think it, you know, that's, at least that's where I would like to be. I would like to just like spit some like intellectual, just like, you know, word slams into, but I, it, it you know.
But how are you? I mean, look, the, you know, you have, your discography is so vast and the amount of songs that you write that come out, either your ratios, like obviously your ratio is really strong, but how many songs do you write that don't come out? You know, are you, is it seems when you say that, oh, you have to be fast because you're in the room, it's because you're very in demand. So you're in a lot of sessions, it seems, although I don't know how many sessions you're actually in, but it seems like you have to create a lot of content quickly and you're generating them at such a high level. How are you able to maintain the workload that you seem to have from my, you know, couple miles away view?
Yeah. I'd say collaboration, you know, it isn't all put on me. Like the workload is divided amongst usually four of us at a time. And, you know, I mean, for the last, I don't remember exactly when we last spoke, but it's probably been about like 5 or 6 years that, that Andrew and I have been collaborating together, Andrew Watt. And, you know, our sort of like team thing is, you know, we go in different rotations. We'll find, you know, another writer or another producer, and we'll just sort of find the rhythm that works. But this, the consistent variable is usually Andrew and I. So I think he has so much energy, and he is, and way more than I do for, and he has a way higher tolerance for the business and the industry than I do. I think I'm now, you know, within the last year, I've been able to like alter my perspective on things, and I've able to take in more than I used to without getting feeling overwhelmed or overworked. But he's just, you know, constantly like revving me up to like, you know, we're going on this thing together, let's go, you know, just, and I think I definitely needed that motivation. And when I feel like we had just, you know, if we had just finished a week of writing and we had accomplished, you know, 2 or 3 songs in that week, I'm like, I'm ready for a month break. And he's calling on Derek, let's go. We gotta go. We're doing, you know, we gotta do this. And so if I'm not feeling up for it, you know, somebody else will. So I've sort of like kept my head down, and I rely so much on the energy of the people I'm working with. So if I'm in a room with people that are just kind of, you know, I can also sit in a room and talk for the whole session. And I'm happy to do that. I don't feel like I get enough of that sometimes, but, you know, but yeah, if we're like, you know, we're in, something happens in me, I get really inspired by the energy, and I'm like, okay. And like the channels, for the most part, usually opens up, and I'm able to tap into that space to just like pull out some content or figure out some story that I can connect to or go based off of what the artist is feeling. So yeah, I think, you know, I'm going off of some adrenaline that's in me that just like wants to, like is constantly feeling like I haven't written that song yet, that I'm like, that song that I'm just, you know, it's gonna like just force me to like sit back and just, all right, you're good for a while. Like you got this message out. Like I feel like it's still bottled in me somewhere. And
some of the songs that you've done since our last interview, and it really hasn't been as long as you think, but It Ain't Me, Selena and Kygo, Havana, obviously huge song, Wolves, also Selena, Marshmallow, going into Young Blood, you know, there was Easier and you know, for 5 Seconds of Summer, both those, Senorita, Camila and Sean, that was just so big. You know, it's winning Be My Songwriter of the Year and at least once, you know, but like that, and then getting all these nominations, all the other awards for a songwriter of the year for tons of different things. But something, you know, it wasn't like you weren't successful before this, but it gets to a point where the assumption is, you know, if you take some time off, then that means that someone else is there to take that spot. Do you feel competitive like that? Do you feel like you have to maintain this? I mean, these are huge songs. Any one of these songs, there are people who get in the Songwriter Hall of Fame off of 2 hits, 3 hits. These are enough hits in 2 years, 3 years. Like, it's insane. Like, do you feel like you have to maintain this level of success to be happy as a songwriter?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't competitive, because I'm definitely competitive. But I'm starting, you know, you know, if I am constantly basing my self-worth off of the amount of songs that I have, then I'm like, the road ahead, I'm doomed, you know? So I'm starting to, you know, I'm starting to alter my life so that, you know, because I've gone in waves over the last 2 years of like feeling just this overwhelming anxiety of like, you know, and I think the realization is like, it doesn't fill that void that I'm hoping it would have filled, you know, that like, okay, you've just reached, you know, nirvana, you've like linked up to the golden orb and, you know, you have it, you got it. And I think that, you know, just with time and with the success, you start to understand, okay, like, you know, the more I chase, like, what am I running from? So I'm starting to really balance out my life so that I, you know, and in doing so, I find that like I'm going back into the studio more so because I'm addicted to the process and not addicted to the chase. I love, you know, and I, you know, I love the people in this community, in our community. It feels like we're in, you know, we've known each other all for, you know, for so long. And like, I love going to the award shows because it feels like a senior graduation or something, you know, and it's like fun to be around it. But it doesn't like get me off, for lack of a better word. It doesn't, you know, I love everyone at, you know, in the industry as people, but, you know, it isn't why I do this. And I know that happiness is not in another hit song. Happiness is not in another award. It's just not in another check. It's like, how can I like, you know, how can I balance my life so that I'm not, you know, so I'm reminded of like where, you know, where can I like just, so I'm just reminded that it isn't about that, you know, it's just, it's,
what's it about? And how do you find that? What is it that is the thing that makes, I mean, obviously you love the process of writing music, but what is the balance in your life that allows you to stay inspired besides Andrew's energy?
It's just being, you know, it's mindfulness, to be honest. It's like, it's being, you know, aware of the narrative that I'm living by, that I just not identifying with the story. I'm just, the stories in my head, and it's being still and being present and like not living, you know, with the anxiety of the future or like the questions I have of the past. It's just like being right here and right now. And like, you know, like through, you know, during this quarantine, my landlord has a pretty wild library here. And so I picked up The Power of Now at Eckhart Tolle. And I don't know why I never read it before. I think because I just put it in like the same category as like The Secret, and it had such a, you know, there was so much press around it when it came out, and I just like affiliated it with like, you know, just like, you know, just like middle-aged, enlightened people that are just like born again into this, you know, whole mindful realm. But I picked it up and it just like, it shook me. It like, okay, wow. Like I spent so much time in this, just this, with this self-destructive narrative that wants me dead. Like I don't have to live with this going 24/7. Like this isn't who I am. Like there were some like really liberating moments reading that book. And, you know, I've been sober for 4.5 years now. And so, that, you know, my community of like in AA, and like I really am building a life outside of, you know, outside of the tunnel of the industry and stuff. And so that has actually really altered my relationship with the city, with living in LA, because like prior to really, you know, 2 years into sobriety, I was like, I just put my head down and I was like, I'm going to get my career together. I'm doing this. Like this is my main focus. And then one day I woke up and I just like felt so emotionally bankrupt and like, you know, sober, but not just, you know, sort of not recovering, or just, you know, kind of just going. And then I was like, well, I'll be happy if I, you know, if I sign a deal here. I'll be happy if I work with this artist. I'll be happy if I buy a house. And it's just, I started to realize like everywhere I go, there I am. And like, so so this whole been on this journey of like, you know, of just, I guess, self-improvement. And like, and it's, you know, cause it just, the way I was going, it just, there was like, I had planned that I got to get out of this thing entirely. Cause I can't live like this. I can't live with the going to sleep and hyper-analyzing my performance in the studio and basing my worth on how I feel people perceive me in the studio. And am I, you know, my melodies aren't good enough for my, I really just froze. And it's just like, and it, you know, and I would find myself just like stone faced, like in some of my interactions. And it just became like really, you know, exhausting. So
I mean, a lot of is obviously, we talked about sobriety, I believe, a lot in your last interview, but is that what changed from, I mean, you know, again, to go from having had a hit, having had to have, you know, 3 hits to having a dozen hits? You know, I mean, there's this steep curve for what's gone on with you and Andrew over the last few years. Is sobriety what makes a songwriter go from I'm writing really good songs? Is it that people weren't hearing your older songs when you were writing them, or is it the songs are that much better? And is it all because of sobriety? I mean, where does this huge steep incline on the graph, where does that come from?
I'd say a lot of it has to do with that. I have way more time in the day when I'm sober, and I feel a lot better. The quality of work has gone up. Like, I mean, I can't even listen to some of the songs I was making. I won't listen to it. It feels like it was made by someone else, it just running away from myself for so long, and does it say the connection is unstable?
It did for about 2 seconds over the last part when you were saying that you couldn't listen to some of your older songs, and then it went a little bit jumbly.
Yeah, I turned off my internet. I think I have more time. I have, I'm like, is it still?
No, it's good for me right now.
I'm like, I can wake up and start at, my day at 7:30 a.m. I can and so I'm ready to go by 11. My dog is crying outside my door and it's driving me crazy.
Dogs are like, when people think about home, like homeschooling, when if you have a dog, like my dog has been in every session and every meeting I've done so far. So bring her in. And this is the part of the interview where I speak about one of my best friends is a performance coach, and he always talks to me. His name's Dr. Bean, and I've had him meet with some labels, about how do you respond to, having had a hit, having not had a hit, having to deal with competition, all the things. He works with Navy SEALs. He works with surgeons, And he's the one who's really gotten me to remind myself to, as he says, be where your feet are. It's so simple, but you get, all of us are such dreamers. That's why we're artists and songwriters. And then, it's like when it comes out, I don't know what we're racing towards. So sometimes it's good to just sit there and actually look at some of the, have a little gratitude and remember where you are,
Yeah, and I do feel like when I am writing, I am in the present moment. It's like we're there, we're in action, it's happening. But then, it's after when we're just caught. Yeah, we're just, caught everywhere but where we are. And so, and time has a way of just like this idea of like we're on this, we're just measuring ourselves by time. And and I think that's really held us back from preserving the now. And
interesting process versus the result. It's such a, all this, the general cliches about it's not the destination, it's the journey and all that. But the more you embrace that, the more you actually start to see all of it as a process, and not even that you never reach a destination, and people who've hit number ones multiple times with multiple artists, those are still fleeting moments. Those are part of your process. It's part of the artist's process. Your co-writers have a different process, and it's okay to recognize that even You know, you when you have never had a number one song, you want to know what it's like to have a number one song, but it's basically the same thing as not having a number one song, except for other people see you as somebody who has a number one song. I mean, the good part is you can hear your song on occasion. That part's pretty rad, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, society isn't conducive to well-being, really. So it's like, this isn't just something that you like flip a switch and you're like, all of a sudden, here we are. Now we can, it's like you're constantly thrown off course by, you know, the way that like you're everything. Like you're, if we all lived on, you know, a freaking commune in Malibu, preferably by the
so you can go surfing.
We all lived in like yurts and, you know, had like kumbayas every night and just lived harmoniously. And that's all it was, would be about. Like it'd be so much easier to just like, and you know, church was meditation and like, we were spiritual, connected to the divine, like all that shit. It would be like, you know, it would be, I think a lot easier to live, you know, to live happily, I think.
Did you sponsor this writing camp?
I'm so in,
like my bag's packed. All right.
I know. But like the writing camp that without like, you know, without writing for something or just to write and just to jam, it's like, it's hard when, yeah, it's just, you know, our, yeah, we're just so programmed this way. We have been, you know, and it's, so it just takes like, you know, it's on left to like the individual to really do the work and to like do it every day. And eventually I think it just gets easier to implement it into your daily routine. But yeah, I mne, I'm 30 years old and I look forward and I see like a family. I see, you know, I also just, I know that if I continue on this journey of like, of just self-reflection and, you know, just expanding my consciousness and all that, like I know that my life ahead is going to just be so, you know, it's going to, I'll have a whole life as opposed to like just, you know, the music industry life, which consumed me for so long. So,
I mean, do you write in a weird sort of way? Can't you write about, you know, that when you're talking about these folk writers, you know, when we were first talking, so you listen to a lot of them and they'll, you can write a song about anything. If you're an artist and you write your music, you can write a song about anything. That's what makes these artists great. When you're a songwriter and you're pitching songs, you don't have necessarily that luxury, unless you do, but none of us do it because we're also scared of the fact that if you were to bring a song and start shopping a song about, you know, what it's like, I don't know, if you wrote a song called Surfer Girl right now and you weren't the Beach Boys, you know, who are you going to shout that song to? But if you were like the being in touch with something bigger while you're in the ocean, it would be something you'd have to sell to another artist who would understand this experience. On the other hand, you have the capabilities as a writer to write about these so many other things than, I mean, you still write wolves and teeth and some of these things that are really interesting concepts that aren't just traditional. But do you write about all these things? Do you write about these like spiritual feelings? Do you go there and are you going there in the future? Do you write about seeing the future, seeing a family, seeing outside of the music business? Do you write about this?
I find ways, I think, you know, I feel like these are also like relatively new ideas for me. So, you know, I think the more I evolve in this sort of realm, the easier it'll be to like to connect concepts in that way. So it's not just like one big song about enlightenment or something, you know, just like, you know, ways to talk about anxiety and stuff like that, 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 you know, I find myself just now, like, diving deeper when I'm talking about just either love, you know, and things like that. But eventually, yeah, I hope to, you know, improve my style of writing so that I can write about ideas that aren't the typical sort of baseline thinking. And I think, cause we, you know, you read Bob Dylan's lyrics and it's just like, wow, like how was this considered pop music? You know, it's just like, this is fascinating. Like, and Joni, and they were all part of the same era, you know, and it, like, were we just smarter as society then, or what, you know, like.
Those artists exist now. They're just, they might not be. Well, there are a couple things, I think. One is that, not that you asked me, but I'll tell you what I think, because.
I do, I'm curious.
Go. But, you know, what was great about folk music in the 60s was that was where the truth was coming out. You know, that's what we wanted. And to be honest, what we get from, in theory, what you get from good rap and good hip hop are people talking about real struggles that are actually happening. That's where a lot of that is. A lot of the real storytelling and the real, like, what the grittiness that you get from the lyrics from Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell are still being written. It's just now written in a form where people still talk about what it's like to be oppressed or to be afraid or to deal with a lot of the things that those people were talking about. I mean, Joni Mitchell's different because I think she was like, she's an author. She's like hardly a lyric writer. She was a poet, you know?
Right.
But I do think that there's some pop music now that still references things that matter. It just tends to not be
for sure.
The kind of songs people pitched then were getting cuts by, you know, there were still those songs. Also, the Brill Building was going on up into the Bob Dylan era. Like, those were all pitched songs, and Motown coming out of that, like, Motown was just pitched songs, you know. Those weren't the artists necessarily talking about it, you know, until Marvin Gaye went and did his thing. And that's when it, you know.
No, I mean, I think just like the last couple weeks I've been like, yeah, down the rabbit hole of like Leonard Cohen, even Jimi Hendrix, and like, you know, just like, it's, you know, Jim Morrison, like having these like sort of mini psychedelic experiences reading their lyrics. But then you also get that, like, when the last Kendrick album came out, I was like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
I got a Pulitzer Prize, man. The guy's like, that's how good, that's who's telling the truth now.
Right, exactly.
Kendrick Lamar, you know?
Yeah, and you get J. Cole and Nas and you know, and so for sure, I mean, there, it exists. So how, In that, like, just like, I feel super inspired by lyrics, and I get that from, you know, Arctic Monkeys. Julian Casablancas, he's an incredible lyricist.
Most of the people you're naming are all artists. None of them are songwriters. Clearly you're inspired a lot by these artists who write songs. Why didn't you ever get pulled into being the artist? Why did you not ever get the bug? Or maybe you got the bug, but how did you avoid it when it seems to be a rare case?
I think because when the opportunity was really starting to present itself for me to do that, I started to like feel this shift pulling me and like really forming a life you know, that wasn't completely consumed with the industry. And I know what it takes, you know, like it takes just the shit that I just don't enjoy doing. I'm not really that active on social media. I just know that I wouldn't have been able to give it what it really takes and also like feel okay. And to be honest, like I feel like I've put so much time into writing that I don't feel like I'm ready to start at the beginning again too. Like it was just like, you know, because I feel like I have such a long ways to go in, you know, in songwriting. Like I feel like I haven't, you know, there hasn't, like, you know, when I talk to my parents and friends back home and stuff too, they're like, you know, they're like, you gotta just do it. And it has never really appealed to me in that way.
Parents and friends at home all want you to be like, why don't you do the voice? You're like, wait, I don't think you understand. I know. I know everyone who's like, I don't think they get the relationships that you have now. But
right. Yeah.
And to this, a prominent female executive who we were discussing, why is it that, what is it in recording sessions that, why is it that there's rarely two women in a writing recording session? And we're talking about the life of women in the business. And one of the things that we were talking about is that most women either wanted to be or were an artist, or they want to be and are an artist. There are very few, seems like women are pushed into being performers the minute they start getting hits. Whereas guys are somehow excused and allowed to be just songwriters and just producers. Women seem to, are the assumptions they get pushed into being everything. And it seems like it's just rare for, what is it about the business that still doesn't enable women to be just songwriters? Or what is it that doesn't allow there to be women as, like, you could executive produce any artist on the planet right now? What is it that, what can we do as an industry that invites more women in and gives them the opportunity to do these kinds of jobs in the business that tend to alienate women?
I think, you know, I mean, most of the female songwriters that I'm friends with that are taking the artist route, it seems like they, you know, like it's been a part of their plan all along. You know, it's like that was, because it is appealing if you have that drive. You know, it is appealing to like to take back that control and to not rely so much on artists singing your songs and the politics that come with that. And you know, I've heard, you know, it's just, you know, it's you feel more connected maybe to the work. And I think, so I wouldn't necessarily say that the industry doesn't enable women to just be songwriters. I think that it's just this, you know, when you reach a certain point, when you know people that are, and the opportunity presents itself to get sign your own, you know, record deal and to, you know, to like, you know, have more control in the rooms that you're in because you're the artist. And yeah, just, you can, you know, cause it's just being a songwriter, it comes with it does come with a lot of anxiety, and it does, you know, your the performance anxiety, because you're so reliant on your delivery. And I think you have more flexibility and freedom to just express yourself, and to and you know, like the writers in the room that you're collaborating with are there to cater to you. And so, and it's, you know, and in that sense, like I have thought about it, like, wow, this could be, maybe I, you know, I'm sort of like suppressing this part of me, this like voice in me that wants to come out. It hasn't like screamed out enough for me to like draw very much attention to it. But, you know, but going back to what you were saying about, you know, one female songwriter to, you know, in to every two male writers or producers. Yeah, I have thought about that, especially, you know, and I've been thinking a lot about it recently. It's, I just think there, you know, there are, maybe, I mean, are there more male producers and male songwriters than there are female songwriters? So I think what our mission as female songwriters is to generate awareness and like, and, you know, for like the new wave of female songwriters and producers, and like, you know, create more opportunities to be in the room with them, and to, and that's really, you know, another reason why I'm like trying to like be present and like refocus my attention, is because I feel like maybe I, you know, I found a really good chemistry with Andrew, and that's been just like the constant usually for majority of my sessions. And then it kind of varies from different, from another female top liner to, or another male writer. And we've been working a lot with Lewis Bell, who we started with from the very beginning. So he's, so yeah, it does feel like there's a lot of male energy. And I was actually talking to Ilse. We've been talking a lot through this quarantine about that. And it's just like, you know, I think, you know, I take responsibility for not like, you know, prior to this whole quarantine thing, I was in New York, and I went to BMI, and I sat down with Sam Cox, and we, you know, we had made a plan to get together, and she was going to introduce me to some new female songwriters that are, you know, are just on the rise, that are really talented, that she could link me with, you know. But every, you know, there's so many, you know, the girls that I used to write with, you know, I love Taylor Parks, is one of my closest friends, but she's the busiest human being on the face of the planet. And so, you know, and she's also on doing the artist thing too. So I think there, you know, I think for me, it's just like, I have to like get out of my own way and incorporate more female energy into the rooms. And we should be all aligned and like,
I think that's where we got caught. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. I think the general point of, obviously, that, you know, we have five or six writers, female writers, signed to us now. And out of the 12 writers we have, try to keep it half and half. And it's been, they're all really ambitious, and they're all just so good. And it's just been really interesting to watch. And you just want to, you know, as where I'm at, where I'm trying to open doors for people, it's been really an interesting thing to see what situations are most fruitful, what are the best for the writers, for the artists. And it's just been fascinating to navigate the, you know, how can you open doors for young female songwriters who, you know, in the business, period. It's just an interesting, it's a different, it's often a different road than it is for their male counterparts is all I'm saying, you know?
Yeah. Well, just recently I started a charitable fund. It isn't a foundation yet, called Creative Waves. And cause it starts like, you know, like think back to your, you know, your like childhood and stuff. And like, I don't know yours exactly, but for me, like music was like a part of my journey from like the beginning. And so I'm starting this charity to bring back music programs into schools, because they're the first eliminated, but not just like, you know, classical music. I'm like, you know, hoping eventually as it grows to put mini recording studios in schools and talk to them, you know, about that process from a very early age, just so, because, you know, I think the music programs need to be evolved in schools, because it's just boring now. So I feel like that's a way too to like bring like the awareness of musical production and songwriting into schools at like the, you know, elementary age, so that
there's no question you should be taught how to use, you know, soft synths and computers as an instrument the same way you would, you know, a flugelhorn, a French horn, and the different variations of that instrument. There's no question that it's the same thing as somebody having to learn advanced trigonometry versus understanding how to pay their taxes. One is right. For sure going to be usable. Not, you should learn both, but you should be exposed to the ways you could actually make a living at being a musician. Not to say you can't have a career playing flugelhorn, but you get my point. Listen, this was awesome, and we should keep doing updates with you, and you should stop by. And you know, it's really good to see you healthy, both, you know, physically in this time, mentally in this time, and just such an impressive, you know, few years. And it's just like, it's so fun to root for you and to watch you just fucking kill it. So fun.
This thing is so awesome. I'm so glad. I mean, I've just watched it grow from the very beginning, and it's just killing it. So it's great to watch. So thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye bye. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of And the Writer Is. If you want to hear music from this songwriter I just interviewed, be sure to check out our Spotify playlist or visit our website at andthewriteris.com. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe to us. You can also like us on Facebook and Twitter. And the Writer is produced by Joe London, edited by Miles Bergsma, and published by Big Deal Music. A special thanks to David Silverstein from Mega House Music and Michael White. Until next time, this is Ross Golan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.